This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about modern motherhood. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. When Dave Kalema was growing up, he understood his family dynamics well. He and his two brothers were raised by his Ugandan immigrant parents in Northern Virginia near D.C. His parents did everything to make sure the kids had lots of opportunities. Dave's mother, Barbara, was really the heart of the home, full of energy, always dependable, there for her family, no matter the circumstance. In the fall of 2007, Dave was a sophomore at a boarding school in Alexandria, looking forward to coming home for the Thanksgiving holiday. But it was a trip home where everything changed. Here's Dave with this story about support, illness, and a mother's love.
My mom, to put you in her mind state, she would always pick me up from school. I knew the drill. Saturday would come, and my mom would pick me up. We had our routine. So I would talk to her every night, and I'd say, "Hey, Mom, what time are you coming?" And she would say, "Okay, I'll be there at 1. But then she said, "Hey, there's some things happening in my week. If I can't pick you up, then your brother will pick you up." And that was weird. That was weird for me to hear. I said, "If, you know?" So Saturday came. At boarding school, my older brother picks me up. I walk into the house not knowing what I was walking into, but a little bit mystified as to why my mom didn't pick me up. And then my mom, who, firecracker, energetic, bouncing around, she's sitting on the couch with her legs up underneath a blanket. And it wasn't that she was immobile either. It wasn't that she was, but she just was very subdued energetically. And I gave her a hug. So we're in the living room and my dad says, "Your mom went to the hospital and she has a tumor and the doctors wanted to check it out to make sure that nothing was wrong, but they found that it was cancerous and your mother has breast cancer." And my mom spoke and she said, "What your dad said is true. I'm fighting this thing and I need you to know I'm going to be okay, but this is where we're at as a family." So I was back and forth at school while my mom was going through chemotherapy. In this time, the 2 or 3 days after, she would be rather immobilized, she'd be laying down. You know, dad, all of us would be, you know, bringing food to her. But outside of that, I understood not to ask for things, but in January 2008, in my sophomore year, I'm playing a basketball game at school, and my knee gave out. The school rushes me to the hospital. I'm laid up in a hospital bed. They do x-rays, and my mom rushes in. She has 2 masks on. She has gloves on. And I didn't know this at the time, but I didn't know that for somebody who was going through chemo, you're not supposed to be in a hospital risking infections and sickness and all these things. And the doctor could look at my mom. He could kind of see that she was at least weak or going through something. So I watched my mom have a conversation with the doctor outside of the hospital room. I'm just sitting there and he pulls her out and he's kind of drawing the news out of her. And she's kind of pointing back in the room being like, "No, I have to be there for my son." And she's like, "You got to get out of here. I can see." But we stayed until 2 a.m. in the morning and they brought the x-rays in and the doctor showing me and my mother that my tibia had cracked right along the growth plate. But it was a clean break and the growth plate popped right off. And at that point, they scheduled the surgery for a week later. Post-surgery, what the surgeon had mentioned is he said, "You're going to be in a cast for 3 months while this thing heals. You're going to be on crutches and your muscles will atrophy. Your quadriceps will atrophy. Your hamstrings will become weak. And afterwards, when the bone is healed, the job is to strengthen your leg." So by the time that summer comes, I'm 15. I'm hobbled. I'm 5 months post-surgery. And there was no money for physical therapy. So in this time, my mother, she had a little bit to cover for the cancer treatment. The bills were coming like twice a month. My surgery, which at the time was just probably like tens of thousands of dollars that we were paying off. So relative to what life normally was, things were a little bit tight. I lied to my mother that summer about how my knee was progressing because I didn't want to burden her. So I did what a 15-year-old kid who really wants to play basketball does. I Googled how to rehab a surgically repaired knee. And I found these exercises and I started doing them in the morning. I'd wake up at 6, I would do these exercises and I'd go for a run because they said, if you run, you will strengthen your legs. So I said, okay, this is what I have to do. And my mother, who was still going through her treatment, she would meet me at the end of the runs and she would cook breakfast. You know, she would show up at breakfast and that was a sign that, oh, okay, she's going through something, but she's really strong. She's showing up for me as well. So she's asking me, how's your knee? How's your knee? And I'm lying to her and saying, oh, it's okay. But, you know, motherly instinct, she might be looking at how I'm walking. She might be asking herself, why is he getting up and he's doing these exercises? Maybe he's worried about his knee. And my mother, she might leave the house and go to CVS. And she'd come back with these vitamins. And she would say, I don't know how your knee is, but you need to take these vitamins. One day she passed a yard sale and it was like a 1980s exercise bike. And it was an old rickety one where you had to alternate the handles and pedal. But this was her way of saying, like, I don't know how to help you, but I'm trying to give you something. Use the bike. It'll help your knee. So, you know, I might have been a little bit worried, but I wasn't going to let my mom see that in me. So the summer had been humming along with me doing my makeshift rehab and my mother going to treatment every week. And in the middle of the summer, my grandmother from Uganda, she comes into town. And my aunt from Texas comes to town. And my dad, he's not really saying anything. My mom's at the hospital. Typically, she would go for chemo, come back same day. She went in. She didn't come back. I was worried for like 5-6 days. And after probably day 5, my dad says, okay, we can go to the hospital. And my mom's in the ICU. And I know that the person I'm looking at is my mom, but the color in her face is all gone. You know, her hair is gone. She's wearing these ugly hospital socks, you know, the ones that are like very loose, that not really hugging your feet. And she had just gotten out of this 13-hour surgery. And my mother she's the type of person who, like, she didn't want to burden anybody. But when I looked at her, she started to cry. She couldn't really hold the weight of seeing her kids. And I go to hug my mom, and the tears from her face are running down on mine, and she can't speak. She's trying to muster words. I'd never in my life seen my mom unable to produce words. And I say, Mom, it's okay, it's okay. And she's like hyperventilating, and she's like, did you run this morning? Did you do your exercises? That's the first thing she said. Like, that's where her mind is at. You know, walking into that scene, I like devastated by what I'm seeing, and she's using every ounce of energy in her body to be like, is your knee okay? That was a really emotional moment. The rest of that summer, my grandmother stayed and my aunt stayed to help my mom get on her feet. And I was still doing my makeshift rehab from the beginning of that summer. Every morning, I was religious about it. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, basketball season would come, but soccer season was before that. So I wanted to make sure that preseason came and I was ready. So I went back to school. My mother was still sick. And I understood my mother was still going through chemo. And my knee was feeling good. And I was on the team and I was starting and things were okay. And then November comes. It's like the end of the soccer season. And I get a call from my mom, and she says, she's like, yep, your dad told me that you're playing in the state championship game for soccer. You know I'm sick. You know that I can't be there because of my body, but I'm wishing you luck, and I'm wishing you all the best. And I say, yeah, Mom, that's how it should be. We were playing in a Virginia Commonwealth University stadium, so we drive down to Richmond, Virginia. We're in the stadium. They're playing the Star Spangled Banner. We're at midfield. We're all having our eyes closed. And they finish the song. And I open my eyes. And in the stadium, Like, I'm looking at the lights, like, at the top of the stadium, and underneath the lights, like, in, like, the last row, I see my mom, two masks on with gloves, like, waving like, this is my mom. I'm like, what is going on? You know, like, I was almost devastated for her. It was cold. It was a cold, like, November day, so she had, like, two jackets on. She had a blanket on. And in my mind, I was like, just the summer we had, I was like, man, she shouldn't be. I'm like, what? And we play the game. And unfortunately for her, the game is long. So it goes into overtime. It goes into another overtime. And the second overtime comes, and I see my mom. Before it starts, she's, like, sneaking into the car to warm up, and she comes back. And, you know, we win the game, and she's coming down from the bleachers with all these blankets on her, and she's like, I just had to see for myself how your knee was doing.
Dave's mother's breast cancer went into remission for 7 years, but then it came back. Barbara Kalema died in December of 2015. Dave says during the years they had together since her first diagnosis, their relationship got even closer.
I think the way, if I could speak for my mother, I think what it taught her going through that, knowing that life is fragile, things are not guaranteed, was that, you know, for 8 years she had the opportunity to introduce herself to her son again and again. And I think that's the benefit of, you know, if I get to see you struggle and I get to see you in pain, I also get to show you that I'm navigating this as a human being. And that's what made us, I think, close, was she saw me hurting, I saw her hurting, and the conversations that I got to have with her. I was 23 when she passed away, but from 20 to 23, it was almost like we had transcended mother-son and we were friends.
Dave Kalema is a Ugandan-American filmmaker and storyteller. Nicole Curry produced this story.